Well, good morning. I did not get the memo that we're supposed to wear the mask of our favorite football team today. Amazing. About half of you went with that theme, and I'm seeing some jerseys out there. I think people are excited for the return of football today. It's so great also for the return of just so many of you just here in this room. It's just a joy to be with you today. If you don't know me, my name is Matt. I'm one of the pastors here at the church. And it's just my privilege to get to spend some time in the Word of God with you. And again, greetings to everyone joining us at home on the live stream. I am a big fan of Google Maps. Anybody else use Google Maps? It has just become an indispensable part of my life. Anywhere that I want to go, you know, I'm in a new place, you know, it's great. I've moved here to Jacksonville a year ago, and I can just punch something in, and you just put it up, I have a little holder for my phone on my dashboard, and it just gets me where I want to go. And I find it to be really reliable and just comes through for me. It navigates me to my destination. Then I moved to Ghana. And Ghana is a country in West Africa. My family and I moved there, and we lived there for a while. And I wanted to use Google Maps in Africa. And sometimes it worked. You know, a lot of times it worked, particularly if you're kind of in the main city, in Accra, the capital city. You know, Google Maps does kind of okay in the capital city, but my friends that work for IJM, the organization I was with, the Ghanaians, they would make fun of me using Google Maps. Like, oh, Google Maps doesn't work in Ghana. Google Maps doesn't work in Ghana. You got to use local Google. And I was like, what? You have a local Google Map? That's, tell me, how do I download? I pull up my phone. How do I download local Google? Like, no, we'll show you how to download local Google. And they pull up to somebody walking on the street. They stop, they roll the window down. Excuse me, how do you get to the school? And they would tell them, they'd be like, that's local Google. And so sometimes we would have contests. We would be out on work trips and we're trying to find some destination, trying to find some contact. And we have a contest. It would be Google against local Google. And I'd be like, guys, I'm telling you, it's this way. And maybe they'd stop and ask, you know. And they would make fun of me. And I would make fun of them because they would give directions by like, okay, you go to the third mango tree and you turn left and then you turn right at the second soup pot. And I'm like, what? That's really how you do it? And I was like, it works. Okay, so this contest is going on and eventually I'm taking my family on a trip to the beach. And Google Maps showed me a different way than what the local Google had explained to me. And I was like, I'm gonna trust Google Maps. Google Maps has satellite imagery. Like Google Maps is the way to go. And so I took my family on the road using the way that Google Maps showed us. And at first, it was great. We were still in the capital city on the big roads. Like it was going great. But then like the road started getting like less like a road. And the satellite picture still looks fine. I'm seeing a clear path on the satellite, but it's like the road, okay, the road's not paved anymore. I'm feeling fine, you know, four-wheel drive vehicle. I think I'm fine. And that's the moment where I think Joy starts saying, Matt, are you sure? Are you sure about this? I'm like, oh, yeah, Google Maps never fails, you know? And then the road gets narrower, and the bushes get closer, and then there starts being like little rivers across the road. But it's going to be fine because Google Maps says you turn left in 1.8 miles. It's going to be fine. And there's no name of the road, but it's going to be fine. And then like the water has like washed out. So now there's these huge kind of canyons that I'm going through. And then the bushes just keep getting closer until they're like brushing the side of the car. And I'm like, well, that's, you know, that my whole family, my kids start chiming in like, Daddy, are we sure? Should we turn around? You know, out of all the voices, right? My IJM colleagues are telling me, you know, turn around. I'm hearing their voice in my head. I'm hearing my parent, my wife and my kids tell me, I think we should turn around, but I'm going my way. Google Maps is gonna win. And my wife starts saying, you know, man, it seems more like a goat path than a road. Google Maps wouldn't send me on a goat path, you know. And then we go by, there's this little village where there's no cars, there's a couple of motorcycles, and you know, and that's it. And they're all pointing and laughing, pointing at me, and I don't know what they were saying, but I'm sure it could be translated as, look, there's a car on the goat path, you know, with a lost white man driving it. This is really, check it out. And they're like kind of running along the side. I'm like, oh, you know, we go past there. And I wouldn't listen to anybody. I didn't listen to my colleagues. I didn't listen to my wife. I didn't listen to my kids. You know what I finally listened to? I finally listened to the cliff. Okay? That's the only thing that made me turn around is they were like, you know, my wife and kids are like, Daddy, aren't we going down to the beach? Why are we climbing a mountain? I'm like, it's going to work out. But I got to the top of this thing, and then all of a sudden we go to the edge, and the goat path goes down a cliff. It just winds straight down this cliff. I'm like, that is certain death. That's certain death. Okay, fine, I'll turn around. Then I have to it's like even worse trying to reverse down the goat path, you know, trying to find a place to turn around. But I was just determined I was going to do it my way, you know, until... You know, certain death is the only thing that really got me to listen to anybody else's way. Okay, the book of Proverbs, which we are starting to study this week, we are starting a 10-week series called Wise Up, and we're tracing the theme of wisdom through the book of Proverbs, seeking to make better choices in our lives. And essentially, the book of Proverbs is telling us, you know, you're going to have to pick a map system. You know, what's the map system going to be in your life? Is it going to be Google Maps? Is it going to be local Google? Is it going to be the Word of God? Is it going to be the voice of folly? It's telling us you're going to have to choose how are you going to orient your life. There's going to be some kind of map system. Are you going to only listen to your own voice? Are you going to only listen to your own inner confidence? Or are you also going to be open to the voice of other people? This is a major theme in the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs teaches us that a lot of suffering, does not claim all suffering, but a lot of suffering is the result of our own foolish choices. A lot of suffering is self-inflicted, or is the result of the foolish choice of someone else. Now, most of you are probably thinking of the book of Proverbs. You're thinking of kind of the one or two line little pieces of wisdom that just kind of are little bite-sized chunks. And we're going to spend a lot of time on those, sorting them based on theme. But the opening chapters of Proverbs are these passionate speeches from a mother and father to a child. And they evoke the voices of wisdom and the voices of folly. And it's just a mother and father speaking specifically to a son, in this case, and saying, you've got choices in this life. Choose wisdom. And so we have the voice of these wise parents that care very much about the path of their children, imploring those children to choose the path of wisdom. To remember the lessons that they were taught. Specifically, the voice, this parental voice, then evokes to their child, there are competing voices. It's not just our voice at work in your life. There are competing voices that are going to continue to speak to you. So when you're off in the world, there's going to be voices that keep speaking to you. And those voices are grouped and personified by the authors of Proverbs. As these two ladies speaking. The first one is the voice of wisdom. In chapter 1, verse 20, it says, out in the open, this is like Lady Wisdom, out in the open, wisdom calls aloud. She raises her voice in the public square. On top of the wall, she cries out. At the city gate, she makes her speech. So it depicts all these public spaces. You know, you've got the public square, you've got the top of the wall, the city gate. These are the places of commerce. They're the places in which, you know, justice is determined, you know, court cases. They're the places of human interaction, the places of politics. These are the places of the public square. And we see there's two competing voices in the public sphere, wisdom and then folly. We see the Lady Folly introduced in chapter 9, verse 13. Folly is an unruly woman. She is simple and knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house and on a seat at the highest point in the city, calling out to those who pass by, who go straight on their way, let all who are simple come to my house. And as we continue to read, we learn that all those who enter her house find that only the dead are there, that the path to death is in the house of Lady Folly. And she's also crying out from the highest point of the gate. And so you have in this public setting, you're going about your life, and it even says you maybe you're someone who's going on your straight way, but you hear these different voices. One voice is taking you to a place of foolishness, and the other is taking you to a place of wisdom, of groundedness, of righteousness. And these voices are always at work. How many of you have ever seen like a cartoon where someone's trying to make a decision and like there's a little angel pops up on one side and a devil pops up on the other side? Okay, we're familiar with that, right? The angel and devil on our shoulders. Well, this is essentially that when we're in decisions, that there's these two ladies speaking to you, the wise and the foolish, and you're going to be listening to one. And you know what? There's these moments of critical choice that we make in terms of which one we're going to listen to. I want to show you a video that shows a few people that are faced with a choice, and yeah, maybe they choose to listen to the wrong voice. Let's show that now.
Tu dois ajouter l'encre.
Si. Et encore.
Si.
Où ça?
Là-bas.
How many people have ever been there? I wonder if any of us ever featured in a fail army video? I don't know. I probably am in one somewhere. You know that in these moments when it's where they're doing these things, you know somebody is there in that moment saying, it's a bad idea, don't do it. But somebody else is being like, you should do it, it's gonna be great. Competing voices. Okay, first point, first observation about, so there's this difference between lady wisdom and lady folly, and then their followers become the wise and the fools. Those are the main characters in Proverbs. And it's something that you need to know, just first observation about foolishness of the book of Proverbs. Foolishness is not about mental faculty. Okay, foolishness it's a very different word than if you were to call someone stupid or an idiot, you know, moron, unintelligent. That is actually a different thing than foolishness. You could be a brain surgeon or a rocket scientist and it'd still be a fool. Foolishness is a chosen spiritual and relational posture. Okay, foolishness is a choice, and it has to do with a posture that we take towards God and towards other people that might want to give us correction. Well, look in, you'll see a taste of this, chapter 1, verse 23. This is the voice of the parents and also of wisdom. Repent at my rebuke, and then I will pour out my thoughts to you. I will make known to you my teachings. But since you refuse to listen when I call, and no one pays attention when I stretch out my hand, since you disregard all my advice and do not accept my rebuke, and then that's when they say, I will laugh when disaster comes to you, right? Like, okay, you know, they're telling their kids. I mean, how many people have had their kids like, no, Dad, that's going to be great. And then, you know, it doesn't work out. Foolishness is not about how smart you are. It's about how well you listen. I compulsively, every night at dinner, I compulsively reach out and push my kids' water glasses away from the edge of the table. This happens most meals. I reach out and I just move a water glass from the edge of the table towards the center. I'm just kind of always doing that. And you know what do they say to me? Do they say, "Oh, thank you, Dad, for bestowing such wisdom upon me"? No, they say, "Dad, it's fine. Oh my gosh, it's fine, Dad. I'll be careful. It'll be fine. But you know what? It's not always fine. You know, sometimes, I mean, maybe a meal or two, it's fine, but eventually it falls and it shatters. And I have proof of this. I have right now, on the ball of my right foot, a piece of glass that's been stuck in my foot for like 3 days. I cannot get it out, and I feel it sometimes when I walk. I have proof in my body that it's not always fine, Dad. And I stepped on that glass right after I spent 3 hours cleaning up glass outside on the patio. So I have a few experiences of sometimes when it's not fine, and that's why I reach forward and I push it away from the edge. My foot reminds me that it's not always fine. Point number two about foolishness, and this one's interesting. Fools like their folly. They prefer comfortable delusions over truth, wisdom, and the fear of God. Foolishness is a choice. I'll show you, look at this in verse 22. How long will you who are simple love your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? So it's not like the fools are victims. It's not like, oh man, I just really want to be a wise person, make wise choices, but I just keep doing it because I'm a fool. It's like the fools like it. They like their folly. They delight in it and they choose it. Makes me think about all the conspiracy theories that float around today. People just, I'm just constantly amazed at seemingly normal, grounded people, and then you see what they post up on Facebook or the email things that they forward, and it's shocking. I don't know, I can't tell you how many times I get a message, and tell me if you've received messages something like this. I just found out that the coronavirus and the Western wildfires are hoaxes perpetrated by the Illuminati in secret league with North Korea and Elvis. And they are plotting to take over Jacksonville with their mind control Wi-Fi devices. Anybody get that forward? Okay, you guys know what I'm talking about, right? People, maybe that's in pieces, but you know, that kind of stuff just flies around our society. Why do people keep passing that on? I think it's because conspiracy theories are fun. Really, I think they're fun. They're more fun than the actual truth. They're more fun than the research it would take to like figure out if it's true. It's like a thrill that a person gets from being privy to some kind of secret knowledge that other people don't have. But my friends, we need to stop listening to all these kind of fringe made-up stories. We need to stop listening to QAnon. We have enough problems in our world without making up more to chase after. Let's solve the real problems and not make up more. We as Christians, we follow a Lord who says, I am the truth. So we need to be more passionate than anybody about knowing the actual real truth. One of the characteristics about the fool in Proverbs is not just that they like their folly, but that they hate uncomfortable truth. So over and over again, you'll see in the book of Proverbs as we study it, that when some form of correction comes to the fool, like I was the fool driving on the goat path, right? And all my local colleagues and supervisors had told me, don't, when you leave the city, don't trust Google Maps, and I didn't listen to them, right? When my wife and kids tell me, Daddy, it looks like a goat path, I did not listen to them, right? This is the posture of a fool. I didn't want to be wrong. I didn't want to have to turn around. So I tuned out all uncomfortable truths. Fools like their folly. Observation three here about foolishness. Foolishness leads to suffering and death. Our beliefs determine our actions, and our actions have consequences for us and for other people. We see this in verse 29. Since they, the fools, hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord, since they would not accept my advice and spurned my rebuke, they will eat the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruit of their schemes. For the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. When we believe foolish and silly things, when we rely just on our own judgment and tune out, you know, wise advice, we tune out the word of the Lord, and we just think, I'm going to do it my way, there's consequences and there's pain on that road, and we eat the fruit of our choices. I spent a lot of my ministry career as a college pastor. I led a college ministry at the University of California at Davis, and one of the big things that you do if you are a college pastor is you meet with students and they want to know advice, and the main thing they want advice about is about dating relationships. Okay, they want advice about dating. And it was somewhat comedic. You ask my wife, I made quite a lot of funny mistakes in dating. But here I am, years later, giving advice to others. And I just remember this one girl that came in, and she said, you know, hey Matt, you know, can we talk? I need a little wisdom on something. I'm like, oh, okay, let me give it a shot. She said, all right. So I met this boy. I'm like, okay, I was pretty sure that's where this is going. I met this boy, and he's funny, and he's super cute, and he has a job, and he's a Christian. Those are like my four checkboxes. I mean, he's like a perfect guy. It's the guy I've always wanted. I'm like, that's great. You know, what's the problem? She goes, well, there's only one problem. He's married. I'm like, he's married? I'm like, this feels like a clear-cut case here. I feel like I'm going to. And she goes, like he's married. And she goes, oh, no, don't judge me, Pastor. You know, I would never knowingly date a married man. He told me he was single for the first 6 months. He what? He lied to you? Oh, that, you know, that's okay. I mean, he lied to everyone. He lied. His mom didn't even know he was married. What? So he's married. He lied to you for 6 months. His mom didn't even know he's married. What's your question? And she goes, yeah, so, you know, what do you think? What do I think? Like, since you walked in here, I've had one word on my mind. Run! You need to run. You need to just run away from this guy as fast as possible. She goes, oh, you think it's like a yellow flag? It's a red flag. It's a big old red flag. You need to run. She's like, oh, you know, I don't know. You know, maybe I'll go get a second opinion. And I just kept thinking, there's so many times like that, so many times, countless scenarios, maybe not as dramatic, but so many times where I'm like, with this young college student that's making a significant life choice. And that life choice, I know it's going to have consequences for their lives. I mean, it's going to, like, you go down that path, man, there's a fork in the road for you, and it's going to matter. You know, what you believe about this moment is going to affect your actions, and then you're going to make choices, and those choices are going to cause pain for you and other people. And sometimes people listen to the voice of wisdom, but a lot of times they listen to the voice of folly. I found that most often people listen to the voice that tells them what they want to do. Mostly that's what people do. What voice confirms the thing that I already desire? I will choose that voice. And my brothers and sisters, what we need to know is that the voice of folly is loud and convincing and persuasive and everywhere. Folly is everywhere. In the city streets and up on in the city gate and up on the wall and in front of the house, calling to us, come into my house, come and taste the delights of my ways. But there is an alternative voice that the book of Proverbs puts out to us, that this mother and the father are imploring us to listen to, and it's the voice of wisdom. But the thing about wisdom is you have to train your ear to hear it. It's not everywhere, and it's not maybe as loud, but if you train your ear, you can hear it. So here's the first point about wisdom. Wisdom is bestowed by the wise onto the willing. Wisdom is bestowed by the wise onto the willing. We see this in verse 8. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction. Do not forsake your mother's teaching, right? These are wise parents that have, you know, been around the block a few times. Maybe they've been through the school of hard knocks. They've sat with the Word of God. They've learned from prayer and from their parents and, you know, people before them, mentors. And they've come to a place where they have something to pass on. And here they are pleading with their children, please listen to the thing that I have taught you. But they realize that their child, as they grow up, become an adult, they're going to have choices. They're going to make their own choices so they can choose to accept or to reject wisdom. One of my favorite things to do is coaching. I love coaching, whether it's sports or something else. I've coached my kids in soccer and flag football. I've coached people in acting. I've coached people in preaching. And in all of those situations, there is one critical thing, one trait that tells me right off the bat, I can tell in the first, you know, practice or two with somebody, if they have this trait, and it's going to determine more than anything else if they're going to grow and become successful in what we're working on, or they're going to just kind of stay where they're at. What do you think it is? Is it intelligence? Is it charisma? Is it natural athletic ability? Is that it? No, it's one thing. It's coachability. Are they coachable? Do they want to be coached, right? You know, like I go to a kid and I'm like, hey, listen, kid, the reason you keep falling down when you're kicking the soccer ball is because of how you're standing. And if you just kind of turn, you know, like, and he's like, coach, I got it. You know, I know how to kick a soccer ball. You're like, that kid's not going to a World Cup. No way. That kid is not gonna win a World Cup for America if they won't listen to their coach on how to stand, right? Like, but the kids that are like, I'm hungry, coach. You know, teach me. What else can I do? What can I do better? You know what? You know, those are the people that are like hungry. Like, what did I do wrong? What can I do better? What can I improve? Those people have unlimited potential. They are just sky's the limit for somebody who wants honest feedback and craves it. And so there's wisdom available from wise people, but it's only bestowed on the willing. Point number two about wisdom. Wisdom is a treasure to be sought at all costs. Listen to this in chapter 2, verse 1. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding. Indeed, if you call out for insight, cry aloud for understanding, as if you look for it as for silver and search for it as though it's hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Folly is easy. You can just walk and you just trip over folly. I mean, you can just, you know, just talk to your roommate. Right? Give me some folly. They will give you folly. But wisdom, you got to go looking for. Wisdom, you got to go get. Wisdom, it says you call out for. You incline your ear. You teach your mind. You teach your heart. You look for it like silver. You uncover treasure. You orient your life around a quest for wisdom. There's one thing I leave you with today. If there's one thing you remember from this message, I hope it's simply this, that you become more thirsty for wisdom. In the time that we have and just this day or these 10 weeks, there's only just kind of so much we can cram into ourselves. But if you become someone who is passionately thirsty and hungry for wisdom, God will give it to you. You will find it. Some invitations for you to help you in this quest for wisdom. During this 10 weeks, we're doing the Wise Up study. We've written a curriculum to go with it, and so this is 10 weeks of Bible study that you can do on your own, but it's even better with a group of people. And so you can find this. We have some in the front row. We're going to be mailing them out, and you can do this with your family. You can just grab a couple of friends and say, hey, let's do this little study guide. You can do it with a small group. And we'll help you get connected with one if you're not in one. But just highly want to recommend that. It's just a way, it's a practical way you can become a searcher for wisdom. Final point about wisdom. Wisdom is a gift from the Lord that leads to life. In chapter 2, verse 6, for the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. So however it is that you obtain real wisdom, maybe it's from your parents or some kind of mentor or friend. Maybe it's from the Bible, maybe from reading Proverbs or being part of a small group or having a mentor, whatever that is. You need to understand that true wisdom is ultimately a gift from God, and these are people that he's put in your life, and methods and ways he's put in your life, channels for that gift. But ultimately, it's a gift that God is bestowing on you. It's a gift that keeps on giving. It's a gift that he gives you. It's almost like a compass or like a superior Google Maps that will navigate you through the choices that you have to make. If I hand this compass to you, now you can find your way. In verse 7, it goes on with this, how God continues to care for us through the gift of wisdom. Verse 7, he holds success in store for the upright. He's a shield for those whose walk is blameless. For he guards the course of the just and protects the ways of the faithful ones. Then you will understand what is just and right and fair and every good path. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge be pleasant to your soul. Ultimately, that's the end goal. I mean, when my parents were raising me, and they would push that water glass from the end of the table, and when I would get mouthy, my dad would put me back in line. And when I would go and do something foolish, they'd be like, that's pretty foolish. Wise up. The goal was not just behavior modification while I was a child. It wasn't just to keep me out of trouble or keep me out of their hair. The point was for wisdom to enter my heart, for wisdom to take control of my mind, so that when I become a man, I live as a wise person and not a fool. That I make choices that lead to life for me and for others rather than foolishness and destruction. And that's what I want for my kids. When my kids are grown and they're out there on their own and my voice is no longer with them, I hope that their hearts and their minds are so steeped in the wisdom of God that it directs them through situations I cannot even imagine happening in the future. I don't know what's ahead. Something I know about the choices that we make in life is there's occasions where life is moving slow and we have an opportunity to go ask for advice from a bunch of people, and that's wonderful when we have it. But a lot of choices that we make happen just in a moment. How do we respond to something significant in the moment? And something that I know is that when you're forced to a choice in the moment, it's going to have a radical impact on your life. You're at a fork in the road. You got to make a decision instantly. All you have is the wisdom you've already stored up. You don't always get a chance to run back and ask for more advice. It's about how much training have you done? How much wisdom have you soaked in? So you've trained yourself to hear that quiet voice of wisdom in the moment and then make that right and righteous choice. So that's what this next 10 weeks is about for us. It's about wisdom training. And hopefully we can soak it up, and in the moments of decision, we make choices that honor God and that lead to life. Amen? Would you pray with me? Lord, we thank you for your word, and we thank you that there is a place we can go to find this precious gift. We thank you that it's not something that has a financial price that we can't afford. It's not something that's beyond our grasp. It's not something that only super intelligent people can find. We thank you that it's a gift that you would give even to us if we will just reach out and take it. Lord, we ask for your guidance. We ask for you, our Lord, to lead us in this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you're with us here, would you stand and worship with us? And everyone at home, also, we're glad for you. Join us in worship where you're at as well.
In the morning, hopes to watch with the hurting. just away from home. Above the vines, the child inside, we left for growing old. Awake, awake. Let everything praise the Lord. In the working, in the waiting, let it praise the Lord. In the blessing, in the breaking, come on, praise the Lord. In the dying, the rising, let it praise the Lord. Let it praise.
I want to invite you all to have a seat, and if you're at home on live stream, stay with us for a couple of minutes. There's a couple of things I want to let you know. First of all, thank you so much for joining us in worship today, and thank you to the band. You guys were rocking tonight. Thank you. Okay, so there's a lot happening. Let's give them a hand, huh? Thank you. A lot happening in the life of the church. We are trying to reopen various parts of the church, you know, as we're continuing to try to move forward, you know, in this season. And so we want to let you know a few things. First of all, we are launching today this Wise Up series. We've made these books, as I mentioned earlier, that correspond. And so I'd love to have for everyone, whether you're at home or here, to be able to have one. We have a bunch of copies that are up here in the front. If you're here, you can come pick them up. We are also mailing this to all of our membership lists, so you may be getting these in the mail. Or you can find it online. You can get a downloadable copy on the website. You can come by the church. A lot of different ways that you can get one. I really want to encourage you to find some other people to study this with. I can call up the slide for the groups. If you would like more information, help getting into a group, here's how it works. You can pull out your phone right now at home or here, and you text to 31996. You text MPC group. Doesn't have to be capitalized. And if you do that, you'll just get a quick survey, and then someone will get in touch with you, and they will help you find a group that makes sense for you. Now, some of those are meeting on Zoom. Some are meeting outside in driveways. And there's all different ways in which people are meeting to have these groups. And so just want to encourage you to avail yourself of that. And the other thing is this. Today's our first day where we opened up our kids' ministry. And that's super fun. We had kids here in the room. We had kids out there, you know, in the different rooms there. There are some changes to how we are doing our kids' ministry. We're actually trying to up our game in a lot of different ways. We're trying to increase the level of spiritual investment with our kids. We are also trying to do this digital, well, we are doing this digital check-in. And because of COVID, we're trying to have much smaller classrooms. So we're trying to have just a few kids with grown-ups instead of a big room. So we actually, in order to do this, we're trying to do it better than we ever have. It actually takes three times as many people. Okay, and we're doing that three times. We're doing kids ministry with three times as many people when we have about a third as many people feeling comfortable coming to in-person worship because more people are still worshiping at home. So the challenge with that is finding those people. So it's great. We've got more volunteers right now in kids ministry than we've had before, but we're going to keep building that. And so if you're available, if you think about that, coming to one service, serving at the other service, or you'd be able to be a substitute. If you just want more information, there's a couple of Zoom calls which you can just kind of listen in and find out what's this all about. What would this really entail? And so again, you can text to that number, 31996. You text MPC Next Gen, and then you'll get in contact. You know, our own Next Gen Jen will probably be the one contacting you. It's a little quick little survey, you fill it out, and then they'll get in touch with you about when those Zoom calls are, and you can get more information. So anyway, just anybody can, just, I mean, obviously there's background checks, there's a whole procedure that has to happen, but we can walk you through that. So I just want to give those invites to you, and those of you that have shown you're ready to be here in person, man, we want to put you to work, and so we're grateful for you. We also have people, volunteer spots for taking people's temperature on the way in, ushers, greeters, you know, all of that. It's going to take the whole church to reach the whole community, and so we're grateful for everything that you do. Okay, here now the benediction. I invite you to stand. And now may the God of all wisdom come to you and incline your ear to his voice. And may his voice drown out all the fools of this world, that you will not listen to them, but you will hear his voice. And may it train your mind and train your heart, that you will lead a life full of wisdom that will bear fruit of life and righteousness to your families and your communities now and forever. Amen. Go with Christ.